Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds, the calling in our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So we are continuing our series in Exodus about, really, if you read Exodus again and again, it is about salvation for a community. Not just for one person, but for a people. And last week we talked about in these boundaries, right? We had the Israelites approaching the water, and behind them are the soldiers coming after them, and they had nowhere to go. And as I was listening to Arthur's sermon last week, he said something that just stuck with me. God provides a way when there is no way. And so we continue in this story of Exodus, and here are the people. They have been saved from Egypt. They're camping at a mountain, right? And they're just kind of hanging out. And God says to Moses, come up here. Let me talk to you. Do you know how many times I wish God would just be like, ring, ring, hey, Kim, want to chat? Come visit me. This happens to Moses. We read about it in Exodus. Let's start Exodus 19. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. And after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai in Israel, and they camped in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say. This is what you are to say." He gave them the words. "To the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you myself. Now, if you only obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations you will be my treasured possessions. And although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders, and the people set before them of the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and always put your trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Right? Here they are. They've been saved. And they say to God, "Of course we will follow your will. Yes, Lord." And then it's like, boom, they disobey. Because here's what happens next. Moses goes back up into that mountain, into that dense cloud of smoke. And the people know that Moses and God are talking. And during this time, they disobey. While he's talking to God, they disobey. When I preach, I usually try to read the scripture that I'm preaching on Monday. So it's like, I don't know, swimming in my head throughout the week so I can experience the scripture, live in the scripture. And I always like to ask the question, why? Why does it matter? Why does this matter to me today? Why did you get up to hear these words? And as my week went on, I think I wrote about four different sermons in my head, and yesterday changed it all. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. I started my morning yesterday at 8 a.m. Well, actually, the alarm went off at 5 a.m. My son, our youngest son, graduated high school yesterday. And it was a day, right? 8 a.m., graduation ceremony, name after name after name after name. And we live out in Frisco, so there was a ceremony at 8, 11, 2, 5, 8. These were clockwork. It started at 8, ended at 9:15, which meant the name Dylan Joseph Myers was read. I'm a woo-hooer. If you ever sit next to me during events, just be prepared. And I literally woo-hooed, and the next name was read. And I looked at my husband, and I thought, that felt a little underwhelming for 13 years of work, right? Then I thought that there is a difference in obligation and desire to want to do something. Honestly, in our family and really in the society we live in today, high school is an obligation that you must complete. Am I proud of my son for completing high school? Yes. Was it kind of a requirement in our life? Yes. Did the last month has been horrible to make him go to said school, right? He was more than done. The box had been checked in his mind, and he had no longer a desire to accomplish this goal. I reminded him I still had the desire to accomplish the goal, so off he went, right? Then yesterday, I got to experience the Holy Spirit in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. Lauren's ordination service was at 2 p.m. That's right. Yesterday, my day was 8 a.m. graduation, 2 p.m. ordination, 5:30 preach, 8 o'clock collapse. The power, Scott said these words about Lauren. Scott Engel preached the service, and he said, there's not many times where we get to see and feel concrete ways of the Holy Spirit moving in our church. Yet we see it in Lauren. We see how she's grown. We see it in her words. We see it in her teaching. And man, yesterday, the sanctuary was just bursting at the seams with the power of the Holy Spirit. And here, in Scripture, not only do they see the Holy Spirit, they hear the Holy Spirit, and they receive words from God. Like, when I read this, I get jealous, envious of that connection to God. And in Exodus 20, when Moses comes down the second time from the mountain, he has what we know as the Ten Commandments, as a gift given to us by God. You have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do we view these as a gift or as an obligation? I think part of somewhat of my disappointment of leaving the graduation ceremony, and it wasn't a disappointment in the ceremony, it wasn't a disappointment in the school, it wasn't a disappointment in my child. It was, there is more. There is more for him to do. So in some ways, it was this like ending and beginning all in one breath. These commandments can be an obligation. We can put them on a wall, we can read them, and we can think, ugh, okay, God, I'll try. Have you ever noticed, though? Can you put them back up there? The first section of the Ten Commandments is to what? It's to remember how to honor God, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It is how to be in connection with God, continuous connection. And then the rest, the end of this section, is how to love our neighbor. Why does it matter? Listen, I don't like rules. I don't like boundaries. I prefer Rachel's picture that's messy. That's how I liked to do life, especially as a teenager. And I said to my mom on Mother's Day, thank you so much. You taught me that raising an ornery child creates what? An ornery adult. Strong-willed might be another way to say it. I've had a hard time in my life accepting boundaries. I will spend more time figuring out how to go outside the boundary within still staying in the boundary than just living in the boundaries. I like to push the edge. I like to say I can do that different. Except for this. It took me a long time to recognize that the word obey is not a task. It is not an obligation. It is a gift. Who am I to think that I can do it better than God? That's the sentence I have to say to myself often when I think, when I make myself an idol, when I'm envious of other things, when I try to push the boundaries. Who am I to think I can do it better than God? These rules, these commandments help us be who God has called us to be. For when our heart changes, our desire to follow is all that we can do. So I've talked a lot about the Old Testament. There's this guy named Jesus in the New Testament, and people ask him a lot of questions. What I love about Jesus is he tells amazing stories, and he knows exactly who he's talking to in these moments, yet they still matter today. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing that 2,000 years later, these words that Jesus spoke still mean something to us today. John 15, 14. It's simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not, you must do this because of this. But this is different. This is out of love and compassion. This is what happens when our heart is transformed by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 19, 16 through 17. Here we are. Jesus is there and people ask him questions, right? Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "What do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. And if you want to enter life, keep the commandments." When I was a school teacher, I taught a lot of classes to other teachers, staff development. I'm super fun at parties. And one of the classes I taught was called Love and Logic. I used it in my classroom a lot, and then as I became a parent, I used it, and as I became a wife, it's also pretty good on a marriage. And so the basic of love and logic is you start with love. When you are angry, you pause, and you go back to love. Now, are there consequences when we go outside of the boundaries with love and logic, right? That's the thing. Yes, there is a logical consequence. But it goes and it starts in this core of love. Because you see, when we just give consequences out of anger or out of resentment or out of just exhaustion, the love begins to become less important. And that relationship between parent and child, student and teacher, wife and husband, coworker to coworker, neighbor to neighbor must be in love. That must be where it starts. Because in that becomes a desire to want to be better. I woke up this morning, and usually my alarm doesn't wake me up. Today it did. And I thought, oh, what day is it? And I realized it was Sunday and I was preaching. And so I went out back. I always do this most days. And I had my cup of coffee with God. And there were doves on the fence just singing with me. And I just said, dear God, how can you use me today? It's what I say every morning, most mornings when I wake up. Dear God, how can you use me today? Let me get out of the way and do your will. I've been reading the Ten Commandments every day this week. And it is almost obnoxious how easy they are. Ten simple rules that were given to people thousands of years ago to help guide them to be better. And God came and changed the commandments not out of obligation, but out of love, so that our hearts can be transformed. Our salvation has already been given to us. It is now our obligation to love. And God has given us the gift of how. How to stay in our relationship with God, and how to love our neighbors. And here's the question, and here's the thing that keeps getting to me this week. Why? Why does it matter? As I looked upon the graduates, the sea of graduates, that moment where they throw the hats, right? It's just joy. There's nothing else to say about it. It's joy and excitement. And then the next moment is chaos. Right? My son came home with a different guy's hat. We lost the tassel. I'm like, the tassel? That's like, lost the tassel. You can order them on Amazon. It's fine. But it made me think about the commandments yesterday. So the principal stands up and says, graduates, you know, throw your hats or whatever he says. They do it. And then he immediately stands up and says, sit down. And again, it was kind of like the 3 seconds of applause I got to do for my son. Like, that didn't feel very joyous, right? Sit down. Know where you're at. Know what you're supposed to do. Know how your next steps will be. Follow the commandments out of love and decide to do it. Because you want to, not because you have to. Lauren's ordination yesterday reminded me my calling as a pastor. And you see, we say all these words that we agree to. It's a long list of things that we say yes to as ordained pastors. And it fired me up again yesterday, remembering what I'm called to be. And it also weighed me down in some ways of reminding of what we are supposed to do as a church. The beacon of the light. VBS. Sunday school. Small groups. Worship. Every single thing comes together into this beautiful harmony of what God has called us to be. And it starts simply with 10. 10 things that God reminds us to do out of love, out of compassion, not out of obligation. And for that, we recognize that it's a gift. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we come together, hearts, minds, souls, we recognize that we say God is good every day, but some days we may not feel it. Yet in these scriptures, in these words that you have given to us, the gift of light that leads us into our next days. Let us be reminded that these 10 commandments are not harsh, obligatory things. These are gifts that help us be better. These are gifts that help us be your people, your church. Let us be reminded to love you, so that our hearts can be transformed and we can truly know how to love our neighbor. We are thankful for this gift of Scripture. We are thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit that has come upon us, on this church, and on our hearts, so that we have no choice but to lead from love and compassion and do what is right by you and your word. Amen.